So we are continuing our discussion with the candidates in this year's Quincy City election. And today we welcome to the program Ward 3 City Council candidate Walter Hubley. Walter, good to see you. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Been around the city for a long time, your whole life, but this is your first run of political office, is that right?
Yep, absolutely. I've done a bunch of things in the city, but this is my first time running for office, yes.
Yeah, okay, so we'll talk about the reasons for that. But before we do that, let's talk about you, yourself, and you. I know you from the Wollaston Hill Neighborhood Association and also Porch Fest and also Rotary Club as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But you're a Quincy native.
Yeah, so I've lived in Quincy pretty much my entire life. When I was born to a young unwed mother who was in a very difficult situation, and as a result of that, she made the difficult decision to put me into foster care. And so at birth, I was placed at the New England Home for Little Wanderers, which is now just called The Home. That organization was, I believe, was one of the oldest orphanages in the country, if not just New England. But they also did managed foster care for the state of Massachusetts. So through that organization, I was placed into foster care. And in a year and a half later, I was adopted by Edgar and Ruth Hubley, who are amazing people. I was very fortunate to be adopted by them. They're amazing. They, over the course of, I want to say, a little over 30 years, had fostered just about 40 children through the New England Home for Little Wanderers. And so I was fortunate enough to be one of the two children that they adopted, actually late into their, when they were in their 50s, actually. Mm-hmm. So I was the youngest of all the 40 or some odd kids. I don't know all of them, obviously, because
sure.
I was, you know, wasn't around during most of it, but yeah.
Just a youngster, yeah.
And so, yeah, I have a very large adoptive family. My parents, they passed away back in 2000, but yeah, they were amazing people. And so I went to Quincy Public Schools, Wollaston Elementary, Central Middle School, North Quincy High School. And then after high school, I didn't really have the finances to go to college, so I ended up going part-time, and I also needed a paycheck. So went to work right away. Working in the cable television telecommunication industry part-time and then full-time, and took advantage of some of the programs they had for tuition reimbursement and edged away at my undergrad over the course of several years. And so that's where I got my degree in business administration.
Where'd you do that at, Walter?
So a combination. Started off at Quincy College, then went to UMass, and then Northeastern, and then finished with some online stuff.
Oh, okay.
So through Capella University. Yeah, so it took a little while, but... Yeah, just didn't have the means to go to school full time.
Yeah,
and needed a paycheck.
Yeah, you were persistent and pieced it together and made it happen.
Yeah, yeah. And then so career-wise, I started in the telecommunication industry, working at local Quincy Cable here down in Quincy,
sure.
And initially in sales, but I always had an IT interest. Taught myself how to code back when I was like 13, 14 years old, and I never really imagined that would one day become a career, but I ended up getting into the technology side of the telecommunications industry, worked there for about 13 years, and then I did a couple of software startup companies. And we sold software to cable companies to help manage their business.
Gotcha.
And then I went back to work for another telecommunication company for about 12 years, and so after about 25 plus years of working in the telecommunication industry, the company I was working for got acquired by a Canadian company, and so my choice was take a job in Quebec where they were centralizing their technology division, or take a package to go do something else. And so I chose to go do something else. And then another reason why some of the viewers might recognize me is through the Woodward School. So after my technology career, I really wanted to do something, number one, more local, so I could be more present in the community more often. I was traveling a lot for work in my previous career. And so I was looking to do something that I felt was sort of more meaningful and would make me feel kind of better. I was in a decent situation as a result of the telecommunication career. So I had the ability to make some choices. And my daughter had attended the Woodward School for Girls for 7 years, and she was just graduating. And so I stopped by to talk to the staff there, and I met up with the head of school at the time, Carol Andrews. And I said, you know, I'm looking for some local opportunity, maybe at a nonprofit, something I can feel really good about. So if you hear about anything, let me know. And she looked at me and said, hold that thought. And I said, okay. And she's like, look, can we, you know, I've got a meeting to go into right now, but let's catch up later. And then subsequently I met with her and then the previous head of school, as well as the current CFO. And they said that Carol was interested in trying to step down and do something a little, you know, heading towards retirement,
yeah.
Which she is now.
Yes.
And they said, you know, we think you'd be a great candidate for head of school, and we're about to start the search, and we'd love you to put your name in for that. And you know, I looked back and said, you realize I've never run a school before, right? And they said, no, well, your business skills over the years, you know, are very transferable to
That's
what we're looking to do.
What we're looking for.
Yeah, so I
Talk
worked there.
Talk about a fortuitous happenstance. That
yeah, it was interesting. I wasn't expecting an opportunity at the school. I was expecting maybe a referral to some other nonprofit in the South Shore or something like that.
Right.
So, and I fell in love with the school while my daughter was there. So taking on that challenge was really interesting to me. And so, yeah, I worked there for a couple of years and navigated the organization through some important changes. We had a real estate transaction to go through, the Greenleaf property, and so I got them through that. And they also needed just to elevate their visibility as an organization throughout the South Shore and in Boston. And then the other thing they needed was fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a couple of years, I did that and did a really good job at fundraising and elevating the visibility of the organization, got them through the real estate transaction. It was really originally intended to be there for maybe three to 4 years, maybe, just to help them through some things. And then, well, I figured out what else I wanted to do next.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a great experience, and we did such a good job fundraising. The whole team was really pivotal on the fundraising that we were able to renovate the entire campus. If you might have noticed driving by, it got taken down to the studs and whole new facade, whole new exterior, all new wiring, all new everything.
Yeah, I had a chance to tour it with the current headmaster, Alex McGay, not too long
he's
ago,
great.
And it's quite a transformation. Although maintaining the historic character of the original structure, bringing it right up to date as well. Yeah.
It was really important to us to do that. We wanted to make sure that the look and feel matched its historic character,
sure.
Not just for the alums who were affectionate towards the school, but also for the general community. The Historic Society was very pleased that we were, you know, giving it a good appearance for the way it was historically, and that we were using materials and an approach that would make it sustainable for many years to come. So very happy about that. Although I did determine that, you know, running a school wasn't necessarily my long-term calling. So I got an opportunity from a friend of mine who reached out to me and said that he is now heading up the technology side of a nonprofit in Boston called the Community Builders, and asked if I would come in and do some program management work, set up a program management office. And that's where I've been for the past, maybe 7 years, I think.
Has it been that long now? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And so at the Community Builders, we design, build, manage, and provide services to affordable housing in, I want to say, about 18 different states.
Hmm.
Throughout the United States.
Including Massachusetts?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, we don't have any properties in Quincy.
Okay.
We don't have any projects in Quincy. Quincy really isn't the sort of profile of where we generally do a lot of our work. We work in some of the most economically challenged parts of the country, south side of Chicago, you know, really some challenging places to really rebuild and revitalize the community in a holistic manner.
Okay. So somewhere along that path, you married and had two children.
Yeah, I sort of I jumped right into career from high school. But it was 1993. I was out with some friends of mine, this story is actually in the Patriot Ledger from a while ago.
Okay.
But I was heading out with some friends to go see Mark Morris and the Cartoons over at the Beachcomber, or maybe it was a Nostalgia, I can't remember what it was called at the time. And likewise, my now wife, Catherine, then in Ferrara, was out with her friends trying to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Both of our friend groups got to the same venue. The line was way too long.
Yeah.
So we left. And as did she, and we went to Bentley's nightclub and to play some pool, and lo and behold, her and her friends got a table right next to us, and I recognized one of her friends and started up a conversation, and the next thing you know, we met, and a couple years later got married, and then so we got married in 96, and then in 98 we had our first child, our daughter Victoria, and 2 years later we had our son Nathan. And during that time, we also did foster care for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But having a two-year-old and a fairly newborn, it was just became a little bit too much.
Sure.
So I decided to shift gears, and I became a foster care case reviewer and did that for about 10 years in a volunteer capacity for DCF.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, certainly having come through the foster system yourself, you're uniquely sympathetic to people that are going through that process, right?
Yeah. And it was important to me. The role as a foster care case reviewer is to make sure that everyone involved, including the kids and their family, has access to all the available services, and that they're getting their needs met, and whether they're on the right trajectory for whether they're going to be reunified with their family, which is always the preference. Or, you know, heading towards potentially another option like adoption or something like that.
So, sure.
Yeah.
So talk about the thought process, Walter, for deciding to run for Ward 3 City Council here in Quincy this year.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it for many years.
Oh, we have? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And I considered doing it many years ago, and it was, I think, more so because of my career at the time. I was doing a lot of traveling, and I really didn't feel like I could do it justice. I always had the desire to help my neighbors and work in the community, but just traveling so much in my telecommunication career that I just didn't feel like I could put the necessary time into it.
Sure.
So I ended up channeling that desire and that energy into the Walston Hill Neighborhood Association, where for the past 15 years I've been helping my neighbors by building communities, giving people opportunities to connect and have a shared experience, as well as addressing a lot of quality of life concerns and challenges that my neighbors experience. And so having done that for the past 15 years and now working in a job where I work at the office 2 days a week in Boston and 3 days a week out of my home office, I have a much greater availability to contribute in this manner. And so I've been thinking about it for a few years and was really considering, you know, getting into the mix. And then just decided this year was the right time for me.
It was the right time, you know? Yeah. And talk about that conversation that you had with your family around the dinner table saying, should I, shouldn't I?
Oh, it was more like about time.
Oh, okay, okay.
They were all just saying, yeah, this is something that you've been, you know, heading towards for a long time in some capacity, whether it was a ward counselor or at large or whatever it was, or maybe in a different capacity. They kind of saw the pattern and the trajectory that I was on, and for me this really feels like the right time in terms of my career and the way to balance that. And also I have adult children now, and while you know, my wife and I did foster care during COVID, we've had about 6 different kids that we've been caring for. We've now since been doing hosting for international students from like Hong Kong, mainland China, even Costa Rica and Vietnam. So we've been doing that for the past couple of years. So right now I feel like I'm in a place where I can better manage and give the proper attention to the opportunity.
Okay, and what needs to be done in Ward 3? You know, in your view, what are some of the issues, some of the priorities?
Yeah, sure. So my platform is essentially this. We need available and transparent government, making sure services are available and responsive to constituents' needs. I want to continue all the community building work that I've done in Walston Hill, but to do so more for the rest of the ward, giving neighbors the opportunity to get to know each other and build connections and finding a way to do that in all the other amazing neighborhoods that we have in Quincy, and taking a lot of what we've done in Walston Hill and supporting other neighborhoods in doing the same if they want to. And also for advocating for responsible development. Our community is growing very fast and things are changing very fast. And we need someone to, with their eye on the ball, to watch each project that it comes through and make sure it's in an appropriate development for the neighborhood, and in particular to protect the neighborhoods. It's important that we increase the inventory of available housing, both market rate and affordable. I obviously have a bias towards affordable housing because of the career I've endeavored on for the past 7 years.
Sure.
But we also need to make sure that process of getting to that inventory level where we need to be doesn't completely disrupt the quality of life for the residents who are there, and also doesn't price them out of the market that they would like to stay in. I mean, I have adult kids now and they're contemplating where they're going to be, you know, living next. And you know, my daughter got an apartment in Brighton. My son's still at home. He just finished his undergrad and he's looking at what he might want to do. And I would really like Quincy to be an option for them. And so, you know, it's important for me as well as for other families in Quincy to make sure I keep my eye on that. So.
Yeah.
That's sort of the three pillars of what I look at. Yeah.
The affordability issue, of course, has been a big part of the discussion in the city in the recent, you know, the recent past.
Yeah.
Do you feel that the city is run fiscally responsible, and do you think that the council provides a good oversight for the way the city, you know, allocates its budget?
Yeah, well, I look at the metrics, and when you look at among the gateway communities and look at our effective tax rate, we're just in line. We're a little bit below, a little bit above the other gateway communities. So our tax rate, I think, is holding at the moment, but it's the most common thing I've heard going door to door is concern about rising taxes. And I think that's in part, number one, for rising taxes, but also the rising cost of everything else. You know, inflation is in the past couple of years has just disrupted a lot of families' finances, and the cost of housing is a big part of that as well. So it's all one big equation, and that's sort of what I've been looking at. I think there's a lot of projects in process right now. There's a lot of projects under review right now. I guess I would say I'd like to see a little bit more of a public forum for a lot of what we're doing these days. Mm-hmm. And I think the council is hearing that, and I hope they respond to that. And I, for one, would definitely advocate for a lot more public visibility, public hearings in the process of what we're doing. It's always worked the best for me in other things that I did. I'll use an example through the Wollaston Hill Neighborhood Association, for example. So back years ago, when we first started the association, we did it for two reasons. Number one was because we wanted to build community in our neighborhood. We saw what the HouseNet Community Council has been doing for many years. Yes. And my wife and I kind of said, you know, we want what they're having.
Okay. Right?
It would be great if we could take some of the concepts and do that same kind of community building in our neighborhood. But the second reason is we knew that the lease at the golf course up on Forbes Hill was coming up soon. And we wanted to make sure that we assembled our neighbors in a very constructive manner, in a very productive manner, to be ready for a response to whatever was going to happen to that property. That property would have been a big, had it not been maintained as a golf course or in open space, would drastically change the neighborhood. So it was in two part, but fundamentally about building community, which is why I think we've been so successful at it. But in that organization that we started, gosh, I think we've been going for over 15 years now.
Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. We did a project with Safford Park. Safford mm-hmm. Park is a small passive park on Beale Street, which used to be the site of the original Wollaston Elementary School. I want to say the second Wollaston Elementary School, which was an old wooden building. And since then, there had only been maybe one or two efforts by like the Garden Club and so forth to do some improvements down at that park. It used to be host to a monument, a howitzer cannon, which I have some pictures of it if you want to see it sometime. But which was a dedication to the various wars and so forth. But that ended up getting taken for scrap metal, and so it was just an empty base. And you just knew the park was neglected.
Yeah.
As a kid, it was really a place to go to do touch football and hang out with your friends and so forth. But it really hadn't gotten a lot of attention. And so we looked at that as potentially the neighborhood's hearth, if you will, a place for people to gather and get together. And we tried to run some programming down there. We tried to do some cookouts and different things, but it was really kind of lacking some of the necessities. And so we did a community preservation proposal to regrade it, redo all the stairs and pathways, reseed the grass, and repoint the large retaining wall, a whole bunch of things, add some electrical facilities, add some water, and then that way we could do things at the park and host events. And so in that process, we met with our neighbors a bunch of different times. We had a couple of meetings to create the proposal to get input from the neighbors on what they would like to see. We closely observed how the park was used presently, mm-hmm. so we weren't going to disrupt any current use cases. And then we presented the proposals to all our neighbors. They kind of liked where we were going. We presented it then to the Community Preservation Committee, Council. And initially we were turned down, but they said it was a great project, just timing and funding isn't right. And so instead of hearing no, I heard no but, and I wanted to turn that into no and.
Okay.
And so we just kept at it and kept advocating for it, and eventually we're awarded some funding, got a landscape architect, we studied the park for well over a year, came up with some plans, and we did about, 2 to 3 meetings with our neighbors and got their input. And people really liked it, and then now the end product, people really love it. I mean, we do a lot of programming down there. We have concerts, we have neighborhood gatherings. I see Wollaston Elementary School is now using it. I was volunteering for their end of year festival the other day, helping out with the crew down there. It's so nice to see the park being used, and whereas before it was just kind of like an empty lot, if you will.
Sure, so, yeah. As a ward counselor, can you talk a little bit about maybe how your thought process works when you're faced with large proposals, new parks, new developments. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking specifically the issues that have come up recently, the Granite Links golf course lease extension. Then, of course, there's the controversy surrounding the statues and the public safety complex, the salary increases for the mayor and the mm-hmm. councilor. So how do you, not to comment specifically on those, because that's not fair to ask you, but how would you process proposals like that, what do you look at when you try and make a decision?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, and I'm happy to talk about other things. But the when it comes to how do I process things, the first thing I'd do is I would assess the situation in terms of what is the actual role of the council.
Okay.
You know, what's the responsibility of the body that I would be a member of mm-hmm. if I'm lucky enough to be elected? And from there, I would determine, you know, what's the appropriate response for that. And that analysis would include sort of a holistic look. So if it was a given project in a given area, you got to look at what the surrounding area mm-hmm. is. Is it complementary? Does it add value? Is it duplicative? What are the, and then understanding what the neighbors feel about it. And that's one key thing that I wanted to point out when it comes to my approach for with constituent services. I think it's great to have public hearings and to offer a microphone to hear from the community about their concerns. And that's very important. I think it's super important, and I hope, you know, that's come across. But what you don't get there is not everyone is comfortable with going to a meeting and stepping up to a mic and presenting their views. And that's not how I would say even most people communicate. And so where how you go about getting the feedback from what I might describe as the silent majority mm-hmm. is, you know, working alongside them. And what I've found is all the community engagement I've done, whether it's park cleanups, whether it's community meetings, whether it's hosting a band at the park or whatever, those are great opportunities for people to get to know each other. But you also learn how people think, and you get their honest feedback once they feel comfortable and you meet them where they're at. And so I think as a ward counselor, that's one thing I think I bring that's to some extent unique to the role, which is, you know, I feel like I'm the person who is working alongside them, whether it's, you know, cleaning out invasive plant species down at Harriet Ave down in Montclair.
Yes.
Yeah, you learn a lot from your neighbors when they feel ready to talk to you. And I think combining both forms of input, both the public forums as well as just the parallel activities you do with your neighbors, you really get a better understanding of what the greater community is thinking. And the other opportunity you have is in the ballot box, mm-hmm. right? Those are kind of like the two ways of getting to know how people really feel who aren't the ones who would feel comfortable stepping up to a microphone.
Sure. So would you, how would you kind of engage your constituents through multiple sources, I'm assuming?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What I'm looking to do is just to help the rest of the ward see what we've done on Wollaston Hill, because I do think it's a really good model. I don't think every neighborhood must have an association or needs to have an association, but I think they can benefit from having some form of organization, even if it's just, you know, doing an annual block party or doing an annual cleanup or doing something together. And that's sort of where I've been thriving for the past 15 years. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can be supportive of neighbors who want to do that type of thing, whether, like I said, whether it's just throwing a block party or whatever. Or just cleaning up a park, I feel like that's sort of where I'm at my best, mm-hmm. which is working side by side with my neighbors and understanding what it is that really concerns them.
What is the kind of the geographical area of Ward 3? I guess we should talk about because it's kind of convoluted, right?
It's an interesting mix. So I would say at the most northern part, it dips into North Quincy, mm-hmm. Down by State Street. Then you're looking at Montclair, and it goes all the way to Wollaston Hill, pretty much west of the trains, right, at that point. And then it carves off to the west, going dipping into West Quincy, all the way down towards the Common Market, actually, which I was, you know, surprised to see how that the lines go there. And then it goes up to Hospital Hill, like one side of Whitwell Street and one side of Quarry Street.
Right.
And so it's an interesting sort of L formation or, you know, shaped ward.
Yes, yeah. You've got very residential areas, but also more urban areas included as well.
Yeah, I believe it used to go all the way down towards Fort Square, but I think recent changes have pulled it back because of the development that went up on Quarry Hills.
Sure. Yeah. So any specific, you know, Ward 3 projects, issues, concerns that you'd like to focus on?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of meetings set up with some neighbors who are pretty active in the community to get their input mm-hmm. as well. But one area, I'll name a few things.
Sure.
I think Bishop Field could use some help.
Okay.
They have an association down there that was originally started, I want to say, by Kevin Coughlin and Howie Crowley and that crew. And James Coughlin did a dynamite job when he was running it as well. Not that Kevin didn't also do a dynamite job. But I think that location is a great opportunity for improvement. I would like to maybe bring in some electrical facilities, for example, because right now they run a generator to do their concerts, their little performances that they do down there, and which kind of drowns out the music a little bit and dampens the mood.
Yes.
And so I think bringing in things like that, doing improvements that make it more hospitable to all the programming that they would like to do in that area would be one area. Another area that I have my eye on is right outside the Wollaston train station, the west exit towards Wollaston Hill in Montclair. I think there's a lot of opportunity for improvement there. The block that used to represent the Oddfellows home, burnt down years ago, and on all the other things behind the police station, all the other buildings, I think there's a huge opportunity to make some improvements.
The train station,
there.
You mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Not the police station.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah, fire station, sorry. Yeah,
fire station,
okay. Behind the fire station.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a great opportunity there, and that's laid dormant. There's also a property that got sold, the old Abdon gas station auto shop. Yeah, and I know there's something kind of planned for that, but I need to dig into that. That I see as a big opportunity area.
Okay, is that part of the urban renewal district?
It is.
It is. Okay.
Maybe not the building where the auto place was, but definitely the area down by the
Oddfellows.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I've been looking into it. I believe there's some water mitigation things that would need to happen before that would be sort of ripe for change. Because not a lot of people know this, but Sachem Brook goes all the way down from the beach. It actually goes all the way through Wollaston, goes underneath the train station, and then goes along Brook Street. There's your hint, Brook Street. And then it comes out at the bog, which is over by Marymount.
And
it's you can actually see where the culverts are in some of the streets.
I see.
And so I believe there's some mitigation issues that need to be dealt with there before something substantial could happen. But I'm excited about understanding what could be proposed there and then seeing what makes sense for the community.
Okay. What does the campaign look like, Walter, for the rest of the year leading into the primary and then the final?
Yeah, sure. So I started immediately. I immediately started going door-to-door, and I've already gone door-to-door on every single street in the ward once. And I've spoken to hundreds of voters already. And so my goal is to, now that I've finished that, this month I'm focusing on some communications and some marketing materials and signage and also fundraising. And I've got a lot of things going on, of course, with Porch Fest coming up.
Yes.
It's keeping me pretty busy.
I would think, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, I love that event. I love working on it, but it's going to be a lot easier to campaign once we're done organizing 100 plus bands at 80 something locations and food trucks and all those things.
Right.
But my intention is to continue to go door to door. I expect to be able to hit every street maybe three times by the time we're done. It's great exercise. You get your steps in, and you really get to hear from people.
Yeah.
You know, you really do, and I actually enjoy it. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to let folks know about yourself or your campaign right now?
Oh, gee, about the campaign. You can find me at walterhubley.com,
okay.
And on all social media channels as well. And yeah, that's the campaign plan for the rest of the year.
All right. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to learn a little bit about yourself and your campaign. Thanks for stopping by, and I'm sure we'll be in touch before the election.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks very much.
Oh, you're welcome. And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. See you next time.